This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College.
We are passionately Pompey.
Whipped in towards the near post. Headed from Naylor. And Tom Naylor scores the first goal of the Danny Cowley era.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
It's a club with unbelievable football traditions. A real football city. We feel really proud and privileged to be here.
Action and reaction.
We've all seen last minute runs. We have to keep the faith.
Time for a fresh start. I think we can do it.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
No one should ever step onto this island and control a game at Fratton Park. That's the philosophy that many Pompey fans want.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
Spring is here, the sun is shining, lockdown restrictions are easing. The city has a new global boxing champion. And to top it all off, the Blues are back on track to challenge for promotion.
Proud to Marquis, who scores and the flag stays down. And from a yard out, he taps it into the back of the net.
Pompey claimed back-to-back victories at the weekend, retaining Danny Cowley's 100% record since taking over first team matters somewhat 10 days ago. On tonight's show, we'll hear from the head coach, who was full of praise for his attacking players in Saturday's game at New Meadow.
We finished the game with 10, but it felt like we had 12 with Ryan and Marcus. I just thought their energy and their work against the ball was excellent.
Don't forget, as always, this here is the perfect opportunity for you back home, the wonderful Pompey supporters, to get in touch tonight and share your thoughts with the rest of the fan base. Have the new management duo revitalised this Blues squad? Was the decision to send John Marquis off a harsh one? Or can you see why Benjamin Speedy gave him his marching orders? And what are your overall thoughts on Pompey's performance against Shrewsbury at the weekend? I'll be letting you know all the ways on how you can get in touch very shortly. So sit back, relax, stick the kettle on, go crazy. After all, Monday is nearly over. A very good evening and welcome to the Football Hour on Express FM.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Once again, welcome to another episode of the Football Hour, driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Head over to stagecoachbus.com for the latest information regarding fares, timetables and up-to-date COVID guidelines. On the way tonight, I've got two more Blues fans waiting and ready to share their thoughts and queries from the weekend's action. The three of us will be going through everything from Saturday's game, as well as hearing the post-match thoughts of Danny Cowley. If you'd like to get in touch with us this evening, we welcome you to do so. It would be great to hear from as many of you as possible. 81400 is the number you need to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, there's Pompey at expressfm.com on the emails. It's at expressfm on Twitter. Or you can visit facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we do hear from any of you, and we've already got some getting in touch on Facebook already, which is brilliant, we're going to take a short trip down memory lane, back to Saturday afternoon, as the Blues embarked upon a 3.5-hour journey northwest to take on a Shrewsbury Town side unbeaten in their last four.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoot and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Here we go then. Portsmouth against Shrewsbury, live in League One, with Shrewsbury kicking us off, going from left to right in this first 45 minutes towards the Salop Ledger South Stand. And Portsmouth go from right to left, kicking towards the North Stand. And Harness turns one way then the other. Hermas driving forward, looking for Marquis outside the penalty area. He's crowded out. Challenge comes in and Pompey pick it up 40 yards out, right to centre. Pompey with 77% of possession in the opening quarter of this game. As into the area, Johnson comes to Harness. Shot, goal! Lovely strike from Marcus Harness. On target for the second game running. It's been coming for Portsmouth. It's a really well-worked goal. A lovely finish from Harness. It's Shrewsbury Town 0, Portsmouth 1. Harness lays it back close, standing up to the far post. Brown coming in. Brown to Marquis, who scores. And the flag stays down. Lee Brown lays it on a plate for John Marquis. And from a yard out, he taps it into the back of the net. And Portsmouth deservedly double their lead. 9 to the break. Shrewsbury Town 0. Portsmouth 2. Shrewsbury have it on the left on halfway. Touch forward. Callum Johnson battling to try and win it. And now driving infield. It's a good run from Ogbetta. And now it's opened up for him. He might have a shot from distance. He does and scores.
And Shrewsbury have got a goal back, and it's a first ever senior goal for Nathaniel Ogbetta. The Pompey midfield and defence just opened up, and the former Man City youngster took full advantage, stroking it into the bottom corner. Shrewsbury 1, Portsmouth 2.
Marquis.
Oh, that is a nasty looking challenge from Marquis. He could be in a bit of trouble there. He was diving in on that one, and the referee's demanding a bit of space. Main is demanding it should be a red card. Marquis is going to have his heart in his mouth. It was clumsy rather than anything, but this is going to be a card, and the intrigue is what colour. Fourth official is being called across. What colour are we going to see? And it's red for John Marquis, and John Marquis has been sent off midway through the second half for a reckless challenge. And the drop kick forward from McGilvery brings this game to an end. Jack Watmore leaps in the air and punches the air in celebration. And Portsmouth have made it 2 wins from 2 under Danny Cowley and will move up to 5th in League One. They've beaten Shrewsbury Town by 2-1.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey live.
No problem for Pompey at the weekend. No problem for Mikey for problem. Michael McKinson, who took home the WBO Global Welterweight title on Saturday night after a unanimous decision rewarded him with the win over Chris Congo, a Millwall fan, believe it or not. And we send our congratulations to Mikey on that incredible achievement, which puts him at 20 fights undefeated. Incredible stuff. And we've actually heard, but he's already brung the belt back to Fratton Park. So, yeah, great to hear. But back to the football, and I'm delighted to welcome onto the show Mr. Sam Carter, becoming somewhat of a regular here on the Football Hour now. Sam, a very good evening to you, mate. How are you doing?
Yeah, lovely, thank you, mate. Always happy to be back.
Yep, and under very nice circumstances as well, Sam. Another win for the Blues on Saturday in slightly different circumstances, despite the scoreline mirroring last week's victory over Ipswich. Were you impressed with how the side saw out the game under the difficult circumstances?
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, that's a real test of the character of a team when they go down to 10 men. And it was just, you've got to say, you would think that in the last few weeks we'd have absolutely folded over and lost and gone on to at least draw or lose, but that they showed some real character on Saturday, and I'm just so happy to actually have got the second win under the Cowleys, and it's just really positive. It's really positive at the moment. It's brilliant.
Yeah. And joining us tonight, Sam, coming onto the show for the very first time, it's Jack Griffin. Jack, a pleasure to bring you on the show, my friend. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for having me, Jake. Pleasure to be here.
So back to Saturday then, Jack, and back-to-back victories for the Cowley brothers since they took charge, 10 days ago, not that long at all. They've come in, they've set their marker very high already, playing some very, very nice football in the process too. Are you happy with what you've seen so far?
Absolutely. It's definitely a work in progress. I mean, it's still not perfect, but it's a lot better than what we're seeing under Jack here, especially when you compare it to Saturday's performance. As Sam said, with the red card, if it was Jacket side, you'd feel a bit more, you know, in doubt with the result. But with Cowley, it just seemed like, you know, there wasn't a lot of Shrewsbury did in that since Marquis got sent off, and it looked like we saw the game out pretty easily.
Yeah, I've got a bit of a quiz question to throw out to both of you, actually, and actually to the listeners back home as well. I'm sure there are one or two back home I can think of exactly who will probably get this right first time, but I'll open it up to you guys first, Sam and Jack. The meaning of salop, which is, of course, what Shrewsbury fans use, much like Pompey fans, you know, we use Pompey to describe Portsmouth. They use salop. Do any of you have any idea what salop means and why they use it? If you do, don't
no
say
clue.
Anything. You haven't got a clue, Jack?
No clue, mate.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I didn't want you to blurt it out yet. I'll give you the answer towards the end of the show. You might have to remind me about that one. But if you're listening back home, I'm asking you mockers as well. I'm sure you've got this one on the tip of your tongue. What does salop mean? Why do Shrewsbury fans use it? Get in touch. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word express. Include your name at the end of those as well. You can email your answer to pompey@expressfm.com, tweet at expressfm, or go to facebook.com/pompeylive. And I've got to give credit to Connor Mosley, a wonderful presenter of Express Floor Fillers here at Express FM. He got in touch with me before the show. He let me know exactly what that meant, because I didn't have a clue either until about half an hour ago. But if you know the answer, get in touch. We'd love would love to hear from you. But back to the football side of things, Sam, and, you know, again, back to Saturday, you know, Jack's just mentioned the style of play and how, really, how much of a breath of fresh air that the Cowleys have been since coming, you know, since taking over 10 days ago. It seems to be the pattern at the moment on Pompey Live here on the Football Hour. We're just talking about really positive stuff, but at the end of the day, that's all there is to talk about. It's just been an incredible start from a new management team. And there's not really anything, there's nothing negative. Not that we ever dig out anything negative. We try to be balanced as much as possible, but there genuinely is just such a buzz around the team right now, around the fan base. But we're just so happy with what we're seeing on the pitch right now.
Exactly. It's one thing coming and turning around results and stuff, but the style of football they're playing is just so beautiful. Like the short passing, triangles everywhere, we're just retaining possession so well and then winning it back if we lose it. The high pressing, I think that's something that will really excite the Pompey fans. I mean, we all know that if all we want in a player is for them to work their socks off, and they really are showing that at the moment. We know that we've got a squad that is capable of that, and they really are just the way they're just constantly playing with the ball, the short passing, like I said, but then, yeah, just losing it, getting it straight back, and we're actually winning games, which is just so good to see.
And winning games under those different circumstances, you know, as we kind of alluded to just a moment ago, Jack, last weekend against Ipswich, we had to come from behind and win the game after conceding the first goal, which was the first time Pompey had done that in almost 2 years. But this weekend, slightly different, taking a two-goal lead into half-time, looking very comfortable. The second half, Shrewsbury came out, they must have had a great team talk in the dressing room. Okay. That's fine, you know, that happens. They had that burst of momentum. They put Pompey on the back foot for a little while. But actually, Pompey on the back foot for large periods of that second half didn't help with the sending off of John Marquis. We'll come to that in a moment. But in terms of how Danny Cowley managed his team to see out the 3 points on Saturday, it's rather convincing to see that he is backing up what he's saying in his interviews on the pitch. We can grind out these results under any given scenario. Or so we have been shown so far, at least.
Absolutely. And I'm just thinking, I watched a documentary last night, and the person obviously being interviewed said about how this was after his friend had passed away. So slightly more of a tone there. But the quote still stands, where it's, there's always a first time for everything after that event. So if you put it into this term, obviously Jacket leaving, it's the first time, in example, Ipswich going behind first. How do they react to that? They obviously shown, did well, got the 3 points, got a 2-1 win. This was the first time, you know, in this new era that we had to send it off and we had to see out the game. And it's all these different scenarios, learning how to adapt to it. I know Cowley's post-match interview where he mentioned, you know, the change of formation, he didn't see it coming, it was different circumstance. But it's all this, that first time, like, experiencing that formation, how to cope with it, and all these sort of, and it's just, it's nice to see. And I think the players always gel more with a manager, you know, like that's enthusiastic, especially close to the age. I don't know the age difference between Cowley and Jacket, but I can't think it'd be too much. But still, you know, he is a younger manager, and I think that can only be better for players in terms of relating to what they're saying.
And there's no doubting, Sam, that the connection between, you know, the new gaffer and the players at the moment is at an all-time high. And do you think that the kind of the change in what we're seeing on the pitch is not necessarily down to the tactics and the way that the Cowleys like to set up? You know, arguably, you know, that is one of the key factors. But one of the determining reasons as to why Pompey have started picking up results of late is just having that confidence and having that connection with the manager. Jack's just mentioned there about the different kind of philosophy, you know, between Kenny Jacket, between Danny Cowley, their personalities. They're two very different people, which is fine. But in terms of the Cowley brothers, do they just fit this team, this club and this fan base just a little bit better?
Yeah, I do think that's pretty much spot on. I mean, you saw in the Ipswich game, it sounded as though there were fans in the ground. Obviously not many, but, you know, the way the players that weren't playing were shouting encouragement, and the barking from the touchline from both the Cowleys. And I mean, obviously Joe Gallen, we all know, was the one that shouted quite a lot anyway, but he stayed on. And I think that's only going to really drive on the players more, isn't it? I mean, we all know that Kenny used to just stand there with his arms crossed, and that worked for him at a lot of clubs, but it never really got the fans going at games. I mean, we'd come from Paul Cook, who was like running up and down touchlines, jumping along to our songs, and it just felt a bit more lackluster. But yeah, I've got to say, I do agree with you. I really do think that this really does suit definitely our fans, and to be honest, it looks like the players as well from what we've seen so far.
And we've always known, Jack, or I have at least, and I think a lot of Pompey fans have known, that this Pompey squad, the individual players, they've got it in them to play some really nice football. When they're given the opportunity to do so, they can really show us what they're made of. You know, the likes of Ronan Curtis, who is a very high on confidence player, John Marquis, who thrives off the crowd, he thrives off of being on a good run of form and having the backing of a manager behind him. Marcus Harness, who was quoted in the Portsmouth News last week in saying that, you know, under Kenny Jackett, he was held back a little bit, but now he's being released from those shackles. He's being allowed that little bit of freedom to play the way that he wants to. We're starting to see these attacking players, like the ones we just mentioned, Ryan Williams as well, play the way that we all know, or we have known for quite a while, they can play. They've just been in a system which they've not been able to.
Absolutely, and I think you could definitely see on Saturday that front, well, especially Harness, Williams and Jacobs, what works so well is they're fluid in their positions. They're moving about. They're not just sticking to where they've been put. They move throughout the game to each other's positions. I think that works really well. And I think, you know, Jackett isn't a bad manager. I think all the criticism he gets, he's not a bad manager, but he's not Pompey. He didn't fit our sort of DNA, what we look for in a team, what we look for in a manager. And I think Danny Cowley, it's been 10 days and we're talking to him. Like, I think I saw someone on Twitter say, give him the keys to the city. But it's that sort of, you know, passion. He just fits. Like, and when you see what he's saying, he's like moved, obviously, his kids and everything down here. He's like settling in well. It just seems like the perfect piece of a jigsaw. And I'm just worried, you know, whether he does too good a job that someone will snap him up.
And speaking of expectations this season, Sam, of course, with the Cowleys coming in, we don't want to get too ahead of ourselves, of course. There are still somewhat 10 games of the season left. We are in the playoffs now. We're up to fifth. OK, there are a couple of teams behind us with games in hand, also on, you know, very good runs of form. You're looking at the likes of Oxford and Blackpool. Sunderland are actually storming it kind of towards the top now. But looking at the rest of the season, 10 games left, none of those teams we've got remaining to play currently sit in the top half of the table. In fact, six, I think, of the last seven games we play are teams in the bottom seven of the table. We arguably on paper have got the easiest run in, but we all know that on paper that's not how it works. So we need to be cautious, but also excited for what's coming up.
Yeah. You've sold it a bit too much there, Jake, I think. I think everyone's going to be well excited now. But we all know that, obviously, like you said, paper means nothing. And playing the lower position teams at the end of a season is harder. Obviously, they're all fighting for survival. And some would say that means a bit more than fighting for a playoff spot, say. But, you know, I've already put my money on us to finish top two after the last few games. I've got my excitement already. And this running we have really is so, so positive. And it's hard to say anything other than it looks like we are going to turn our season around. But, you know, there we go. I've already said it. But, yeah.
OK, after the break, we're going to take a listen to the post-match thoughts of head coach Danny Cowley, who is pleased to see that his start of play is already starting to show within this Pompey squad, despite only being in the job for a little over a week.
The information they've taken on this week, hopefully people could see the way the players played in the first half and how we want to play. And then second half, when we couldn't quite get that rhythm and the control, we showed an incredible amount of determination and grit.
So stick around to hear the thoughts of Danny Cowley, as well as more from myself, Sam and Jack. You're listening to The Football Hour on Express FM.
This is The Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the Monday Football Hour here on Express FM, brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. Download the app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to pay for your next ticket to avoid having to make contact with the driver when boarding. OK, let's head to the socials then, and a couple of messages coming in on Twitter, Facebook and indeed the emails as well. Graham Snow, he says, I reckon the challenge should have been just a yellow. Yes, John Marquis had a poor touch, which led better his challenge. He got a toe on the ball after that touch and his momentum carried him through, says Graham Snow on the emails. Kelvin Shaw, good evening to you. He says, but Salop is an abbreviation of Shropshire. The locals refer to it as that rather than saying Shropshire. Kelvin Shaw there on Twitter. And Graham Snow's got back in touch. He says, the origin of the name is the Old English. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that word, Graham, because there are so many letters in that. Basically means Shrewsbury Shire, the shire of the fortified place in the scrublands or shrubs, the modern derivation. Salop is an old name for Shropshire, historically used as an abbreviation form for post or telegrams. It is thought to derive from the Anglo-French Salopsberia. Graham Snow, wonderful use of Google, Wikipedia, whatever you use there, or your brain. If you've known that, fantastic. That is a great piece of knowledge. But yes, Salop is basically the old name for the county of Shrewsburyshire, which I only found out today, which I always wondered why they called it Salop. But yeah, just one of those questions, Sam, which I think, you know, Pompey fans and fans of teams that have been playing against Shrewsbury over the, you know, over the many years, especially of a younger age like ourselves, we haven't known what Salop means. Now we know. The old age question.
If you haven't tuned into the Football Hour before, there you go. There's a reason why.
We are revealing the big questions, the important ones. Back to more of an important question, though, Jack, and the decision to send off John Marquis on Saturday. Now, what are your thoughts on that? I'm pretty sure everyone listening back home either watched the game, seen the replays on social media after the game. Unfortunately, I can't show it to you right now over the radio. But what did you think of that? Was it a red card or not? Was it harsh?
It's a tricky one. And if you have a different ref, a different day, a different game, it could be a completely different outcome. I think at first looking, I don't think it was, but we come from a Pompey bias where, you know, you can imagine being in the ground, any challenge is just, nah, no way. So yeah, but when you look back, you can see why the ref gave it. Both feet were off the ground. Admittedly, only one was facing the way of the ball. The other one seemed to be facing the other way. And he did win the ball. But as soon as you leave the ground, both feet leave the ground, I should say, it's going to be a tricky, you know, tricky call. And I think they're going to go and appeal it, but I don't think they'll be too lucky there. Mm.
And not to sound like, you know, one of these, you know, back in the day, they wouldn't have given that. But genuinely, Jack, back in the day, 20-odd years ago, would that have been given? Because
no.
Under the current, you know, modern way of football, totally understand what you're saying. It does look like a nasty challenge. It's certainly a meaty one. But, the rules have changed. It's gotten a little bit, you know, obviously more protective of players, but yeah, would you say that maybe 15, 20 years ago, that's not given?
Definitely. I think it's, it, like you said there, it's a different game. We are more protective. And, you know, in some elements, that's great because, you know, it keeps these players healthier, less injuries. And that's what we want. But in other terms, you know, like you kind of want the ref to be a bit on your side. And I think during the game, the ref wasn't really on our side either. So I think that did affect the outcome a little bit. Like I said in my first point, if it's a different game, you know, different venue, different situation, then it could have just been a yellow. But that particular challenge, yeah, what can we say, really?
Do you think if that happened against John Marquis, Sam, we'd all be calling for a red?
Yeah, I think that's the main point, really. If we've got a full Fratton Park and the opposition player does that to one of our players, we're all calling for a red card, let's face it. But yeah, I think Jack summed it up pretty well there. It's obviously going to not have been a red card a few years ago, but at the end of the day, like, you look at some of the challenges that have ended up breaking legs and you do win the ball first. You go through the ball and then you break the leg. So we've got to get tackles out of that, like that, out of the game. And It was a stupid tackle to do anyway, really. It was a heavy touch and he didn't really need to dive in. He just, you know, regroup and move on. But yeah, I don't think that will be overturned.
I think the frustrating thing more than anything, Jack, is, look, we've all known this for many years, you know, following football, but it's the inconsistencies of these decisions. Now, earlier in that match, John Marquis himself was hacked down from behind from a player, not going to lie, I can't remember who, but he hacked him down from behind, nowhere near the ball, completely chopped him off his feet. Referee, yep, free kick, no card. Later in the game, Sean Raggett had a tackle on him, pretty similar to the one that John Marquis was sent off for, given a free kick, nothing more than that. And I think as well, the reaction of the Shrewsbury players at the time, given the fact that Benjamin Speedy, the referee on the day, he was taking quite a while to make his mind up as to what he would give to John Marquis. And I think the reaction of the players, the inconsistencies of similar challenges in the same game, is something which you can quite fairly, you know, see why Pompey fans are angry about.
Absolutely. And there's 2 points you touched on there, obviously inconsistency and the impact on other players. So with the inconsistency, the only way you really solve that is either better training for the refs, which I'm sure they do, you know, keep doing each year, you know, to get themselves better prepared and, you know, more knowledgeable, or VAR, which we're seeing in obviously the Premier League, and we could see the reaction of the Premier League fans there, how well that's going down. So I'd much rather this. But in terms of the impact of the players on the decision, I think that's just a substitute for what the fans would be. Obviously, as Sam mentioned, if that was at Fratton and that challenge, you can imagine the refs get pressured in that scenario based on the reaction of fans. I know they shouldn't, but sometimes, you know, it's clear it happens. And you can only imagine in a similar scenario, Shrewsbury fans would probably still be calling and maybe it still would have been given red. Or because they, you know, the players wouldn't have been so much in the face, maybe with the fans on their back, maybe would have stood his ground a bit more and given a yellow card. But I think maybe the time in the game could have helped it. I mean, I can't remember the specific minute, but the challenge of John Marquis was earlier in the game. That's the point where obviously you're letting the game, you know, set, and, you know, all these kind of decisions and all these challenges you kind of let slide a bit more, where that one was the 60th minute, wasn't it, I believe?
Yeah.
Or 59th, yeah. It's obviously a bit later in the game. He's, you know, would have been warned before, and the ref obviously had enough and was just like, that's just not acceptable, John.
Another thing as well, Sam, I think if you cast your minds back to the early stages of this season, Pompey played Charlton, I believe it was, at Fratton Park. Darren Prattley with a horrible challenge in the middle of the field let off. Jack Watmore, of course we all know, he got sent off back in the early stages of 2021, missed 3 games. The appeal was declined. Again, you know, we speak about inconsistencies, not just necessarily in that particular game. And look, you know, we're not at all bemoaning this decision. I think we've all clearly summed up the fact that you can see why the referee is giving it. But when you look back on other scenarios, this is something we really need to crack down on. If one particular challenge is a red card, why is the other not? You know, we're totally fine with the referee giving John Marquis a red card if he can back it up with the fact that similar instances have been, you know, punished fairly in other games.
Yeah, there's always going to be inconsistency, so unfortunately, I mean, unless we get, you know, robots in to referee that have the exact interpretation of the law, like, coded into their brains, you know, I mean, but is that better, you know, would that be better? At the end of the day, we've got these laws, and it is down to the referee on the day, and obviously all of his decisions will be 50% liked and 50% disliked, depending on who you support, and that is unfortunate. But you know, like I said, there's always going to be these inconsistencies, and I think it is just something we've really just got to kind of get on with and accept that some days they'll favour us and some days they won't.
And I think, in all fairness, Sam, having seen VAR work in the Premier, or I say work in inverted quote marks, yeah, in the Premier League over the last couple of seasons, in the World Cup, and all of the anomalies that have been thrown up, and the bizarre decisions, despite the fact that the referees are being given a monitor to re-watch these incidents over and over and over again, and the time it takes to do so, and sometimes you still come away from it thinking, what? You'd much rather, like you've just mentioned there, you'd much rather have a little bit of inconsistency and not have the, you know, the flow of the game disrupted like that.
Yeah, if we'd have been sat there, like, waiting for, what, 3-4 minutes to see what had happened, and all the, you know, rubbish that comes out because of VAR and the time wasting and all that, it would have been even more frustrating, because it still, at the end of the day, probably would have been a red card. So, I'd much rather the way things are at the moment in the lower leagues than have all that VAR stuff going on in the Prem.
Shout out to my granddad, Pete, listening in from back home. He also got the question right earlier about Salop. It was an old county name for Shrewsburyshire. So well done to my granddad. Not surprised at all, but he got that one right. He's the brains and brawns of a family. Looking at some more text tweets and emails coming in, then one from Graham Wilkins. He says, "Hi, Jake. Hi, all. A workmate of mine watched the game on Saturday, said it was just like watching Brazil. I think it was due to the one-touch passing display in the first half. I saw the goals as they went in, but only in clips. They were both very well made. The thing that impresses me about the Cowleys is you can actually hear them from the touchline, added with Gallon's barking, shows how much Pompey mean to them. I love the way Danny talks about the game pre-match and post-match, and it talks a lot of sense. Harness is a different player lately, and Williams must be on Duracell batteries as he just runs and runs and presses the opponents all the time." I love that, Graham. I love that. Ryan Williams on Duracell batteries. I can just picture the Duracell bunny running up and down the touchline now. On John Marcus's red card, I thought maybe yellow and hopefully the red card would be rescinded. Put it this way, I've seen a lot worse. Darren Prattley springs to mind. There you go. What I don't like is other players surrounding the referee trying to get other pros sent off. One more question. Did you eat most of your ginger nuts on the way home, or were they pinched off you, Graham? That is actually one of the bigger, you know, talking points of tonight's show. No, we're saving them from Friday. Thank you to Graham Wilkins for getting in touch there. A fond lover of Danny Cowley's pre- and post-match interviews. And actually, we're going to hear the post-match thoughts of the head coach now. We heard from him on Saturday afternoon. He caught up with Ollie Marsh on the touchline at New Meadow.
Well, Danny, plenty to talk about in that game. First of all, the first half performance must be one you're really pleased with.
Yeah, credit to the players. You know, we've given them a lot of information this week, and I just thought they've taken it on brilliantly. You know, they're just a really coachable group, just boys that want to get better and want to improve. Worked hard trying to speed the play up. We knew today that they would play a 3-5-2, or they would fill the middle of the pitch, and it would be about the quick switches of play and try to penetrate down their sides. We work hard with those combination play that we've been after, those double passes all week, and I think we saw a few of those today. 1-2 combination play, which is what we love to see. And the first half, I thought we played with a real control. I thought we had a really good rhythm to us, and we were able to dominate the half.
And the two goals well worked again. And for Marcus Harness, you set him the challenge of 10 league goals. He's got 2-2 now, so he must be giving you what you want.
Yeah, I'm going to move that to 15 now. after the two goals he's got. No, I thought he's incredible today. Him and Ryan Williams. We finished the game with 10, but it felt like we had 12 with Ryan and Marcus. I just thought their energy and their work against the ball was excellent. And you know, we know what they can do for us in possession. And Marcus, it was a lovely goal. I thought him and Callum combined really, really well. It was a great goal, but I was almost more impressed with his stuff against the ball. I thought he was so selfless, so team orientated, particularly, you know, when we went down to 10, it was difficult. And credit to both of them, and credit to the whole group.
You mentioned going down to 10. What was your view of the red card? How did you see that one?
I just didn't anticipate he was going to produce a red card, because I saw the challenge. It was right in front of me, and I think the ball comes off of John. He goes after it. His foot's completely on the floor. He actually wins the ball first, gets a toe on the ball, and it's probably a clumsy tackle. I thought probably a yellow card, but I didn't anticipate the red card at all. And he's a really good guy, the ref, and I thought he had a really tough afternoon, if I'm honest. But it was what it is. He saw it as he saw it. We accept that. I think the response after was excellent. We were disappointed we couldn't get the control and the rhythm in the second half. Shrewsbury changed the system to a 4-3-3. We're a new group and we're coming together, and we didn't quite have the answers to get the control in our possession against a 4-3-3. We know what the answers are, but we haven't been able to get that information into the boys because we just haven't had the time. So we got a lot of good work into the group in terms of being able to get the switches on and playing around, which we did well in the first half. Second half, when you're playing against that 4-3-3 and the two wingers are really high, your fullbacks have to run them off, and then you have to try to get the 2v1 advantage with your two centre halves, and then you can start stepping in and you can really pin them back to become a 4-5-1. We're work in progress, that's the truth of it. And you know, when you can't get the flow and you can't get the rhythm in your performance, then you have to show the other side of the game. And I thought we showed incredible resilience. I thought we showed a real grit and determination about us. And if you want to be a successful team, you have to win football games games in all different ways, and it's much more enjoyable if you can win it the way we played in the first half with the control and the fluency. But if you can't get that, then you have to dig deep and you have to fight. And you know, second half we're down to 10 for 30 plus minutes. I thought, you know, they score from distance, but other than that I don't remember them having a clear cut chance, and that's credit to the whole group in the way that we defended.
And just with the red card, is it one that you'll look to get overturned?
Oh, I think definitely we would look to do that, yeah, because like I said, John's in control. He has a bad touch. His foot is on the floor. He plays the ball first. I don't see any intent, and I didn't think it was a reckless challenge. Like I said, I've watched it back a couple of times, seen it on slow motion. That's what I see. We'll speak to the club. That'll certainly be my recommendation, and I'll say the club will take it from there.
Just finally, up to fifth in the table, how nice is it psychologically to be back in the playoffs?
Yeah, it's about being in the playoffs and on the 46th game of the season, isn't it? I think at the moment it's just about trying to get the performance right, and we got half a performance today because we played really well for 45 minutes. We can definitely play technically and tactically better in the second 45 minutes, but I'll go back to it. I just want to give the credit to the players, because I thought, you know, the information they've taken on this week, hopefully people could see, you know, the way the players played in the first half and how we want to play. And then second half, when we couldn't quite get that rhythm and the control, we showed an incredible amount of determination and grit, and that bodes really well, because if you can win games in all different ways, then you normally find that you win pretty consistently.
The post-match reaction of Danny Cowley following Saturday's victory over Shrewsbury. And you've just got under 20 minutes to get your final messages into the panel this evening. Are you excited or remaining grounded for the final 10 games of the season? Who was your man of the match on Saturday? And do you believe this squad is much better suited to Danny Cowley's playstyle, which has contributed to the change in form? Get in touch before 7 o'clock tonight. It's 81400 on the text. Be sure to start those with the word Express. At Express FM is where to find us on Twitter. Pompey at expressfm.com is our email address, and facebook.com/PompeyLive is where to look, believe it or not, on Facebook. And whilst you do that, we're going to take a very short break. The three of us will be back in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of this Monday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Good evening and welcome back to the third and final time tonight to be Football Hour, supported by Stagecoach across the South. If you've just tuned in, where have you been? I'm joined by Sam Carter and Jack Griffin to review the events of Pompey's 2-1 victory over Shrewsbury Town at the weekend. And before the break, Jack, we heard from boss Danny Cowley, who highlighted how he had his side adapt the way they approached the final quarter of the game whilst being pegged back by Shrewsbury with only 10 men. And speaking of Shrewsbury, we've not really done too much of that tonight. Not a bad side going into the match. They were unbeaten in four. We know that Steve Cottrell, since taking over, albeit spending a lot of his time in charge in and out of hospital, since he's taken over, if you started the league campaign when he did take charge, they would be seventh from the table. They've beaten some very top teams in this division. And like I say, unbeaten in four games. They are a very difficult side to beat. But Danny Cowley and his side, despite, like we mentioned in part one, the circumstances, managing to see through the victory, despite, you know, spending the final embers of that game on the back foot.
Yeah, credit where credit's due to Shrewsbury and Steve Cottrell. He's done an amazing job there. Last time, obviously, they did so well. They got in the playoffs in League One. And if he, as you said, if he'd been there from the start, they would have been up there. But unfortunately, they had that rocky start at the start of the season under Sam Ricketts, was it? Sam Ricketts, that his name?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, obviously, they're flying with Steve Cottrell. Obviously, best wishes go to him in the situation he's found himself in. But he's doing a great job, and they are a good side. I think we have that fresh manager bounce, haven't we? Second game in, I think players are optimistic now with that new manager, and they want to impress. And I think it's just this Shrewsbury game for them came at the wrong time. I think if you caught us, obviously, with Jacket, they would have stood a better chance, and even further in the season, they might have stood a better chance. But I think when you do get that manager bounce, it comes, and you know, it's the perfect thing for a club.
Yeah, and Graham Wilkins got in touch with the show in part two. Sam, he said, but a workmate of his watched the game. He compared Pompey to playing like the Brazil of old, and looking at the game, looking at the performance and how well worked both goals were, really impressive to see, you know, triangular play, the nice quick one-touch passes between the wingers, you know, Ryan Williams, Marcus Harness working their absolute socks off. John Marquis coming back and receiving the ball, playing it out wide. The fullbacks, Callum Johnson, Lee Brown, every single member of that team working really well together in cohesion to go forward, track back in such an aesthetically pleasing way as a Pompey fan to watch that game. You couldn't take your eyes off it, in particular in the first half.
Yeah, less Brazil, more Barcelona 2010. Like, with our very own Iniesta in centre... Oh, no, Xavi, isn't it? Sorry.
Xavi, yes.
In centre midfield.
Although nowadays case, looking more like Pirlo.
Yeah, literally. So I've been looking at, like, the statistics for it, and we had 62% possession. Against Ipswich, we had 60% possession. To put that into comparison, versus Sunderland was a pretty much 50-50 split. And then, again, if you look at the... Obviously, that's a good start, but then you really need to make that count. So our passing completion against Shrewsbury, not a single player was actually... Well, outfield player was below 72%. And then only two of them, Harness and Brown, were below 80%. And then, obviously, you look at those two kind of players... And they're the ones that are taking the most risks with passes, you know, the final crosses and stuff like that in our side. So, you know, it was just such a good start. And like you said about Marquis, he was actually one of the ones who had a really, really low passing percentage against passing success rate against Sunderland. It was about 58%. And then against Shrewsbury at the weekend, it was 82. So, you know, it's really, really, really encouraging to see that we're not just, you know, anymore lumping it up field and then pretty much Marquis is just losing the ball because he's trying to take those risks. He's now getting it into his feet and he's playing it back out to try and start again and recycle possession. And it's just so encouraging.
And Ben Close, as Sam just mentioned there, Jack, really thriving under the guidance of Danny and Nicky Cowley. Can you see a way back in for Andy Cannon anytime soon?
I think I can. I'm personally a fan of Andy Cannon. At times during jacket spell with him, he still did look like a good player. I think Ben Close at the moment, they're similar players. I think Andy Cannon maybe a bit more attacking, but with the form Ben Close in, obviously if you're keeping the formation he has been 4-2-3-1 the last couple of games, then you can only really, obviously Naylor's got to stay in with being captain. He doesn't have to, but you like what I've seen of him so far. Well, under Cowley, and obviously with Ben Close, he's just, As you mentioned there, the Pompey Xavi, he's just looking exceptional. His passing has been incredible, and I think it's only going to get better for him.
You say about Tom Naylor, though, Jack, and correct me if I'm wrong, but is he not a winter player? We've now entered spring.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe playoffs come around. You know, it's a bit hot for him out there. Maybe that's when you bring Andy Cannon
in. It's getting sunny.
Yep. Andy Cannon's got the ginger in him as well, so maybe he's a winter player as well. We've got no summer midfielders, Jake.
We're peaking 18 degrees. This is not good. This is not good. Jokes aside, Marcus Deakins on the email says the tackle by Marquis was never a red card in a million years. A full-blooded challenge, no doubt about that. But it was a single-footed one from the front, studs not showing, and it looked like his other foot was on the deck. I've seen far worse tackles that have got yellow cards, says Marcus Deakins there on the emails. Got quite a lot on Twitter and Facebook as well to get through. And just quickly as well, before I do forget, a fantastic stat as provided by Stuart Dunn from the Radio Shropshire, BBC Radio Shropshire, who tweeted after the game that the Pompey defeat on Saturday for Shrewsbury was only Steve Cottrell's fifth defeat in 22 games in charge. Phenomenal stat, and just goes to highlight how much of an incredible run Shrewsbury have been under the new gaffer. On Facebook, Forrest Watson's got involved. He says, "Hi Jake, the first half was one of the best halves of football I've seen in many years. If we carry on winning like this, I suspect there will be a few offers for the Cowleys from somewhere else come the end of the season. I've seen enough already for them to be offered a 2-year deal." Be thoughts of Forrest Watson there on Facebook. Sarah Mark Hilly has got involved. She says, "What they've got is passion, more personal with the players, cheering them on and generally encouraging them throughout the game." As Steve Stedding backs that up, he says, "Passion, energy and hunger. It's what we've missed and it's inspired by the manager. It's been clear to see since Kenny's gone. Play at Pompey," says Steve Stedding on Facebook. And got a couple more here as well in regards to the red card. Bailey Rousell said it was harsh. Mark Coates got involved. He says, "Everyone would have accepted a yellow card, not a sending off in most people's books. No studs, one foot on the ball, in control of a tackle." Sam Uwitz said, he said it looked like a red to me. Regardless of anyone's opinion, you just go in at that pace with studs showing. It's an instant red. See Watmore earlier this season, and one more from Bill Piggott. Looked like a red to me, but foot off the ground makes it dangerous play. So very divided on my social media in regards to John Marcus's red card at the weekend. We passed it, but we will hear, hopefully, in the next 24 hours if the appeal has been successful. Hopefully, for Pompey's situation, it is, Sam. Because if it's not, and John Marquis does miss the next three or four games, it could be extended to four by the EFL if they decide that the appeal isn't worthy of an appeal. They can easily extend that to another game. Pompey are very light on strikers now. John Marquis, yeah, possibly suspended. Ellis Harrison is out until the end of the season. Jordy Hawula, we heard at the weekend, not involved in the squad. He's out for 6 to 8 weeks.
Yeah, and with two games so close to each other, that's not very good reading. It's going to be tricky, isn't it? I mean, we might have to, experiment or maybe even just give, one of the youngsters a debut. But I think it's more likely we'll see maybe Williams or Harness play in the striker role. At the end of the day, we're not seeing as many long balls now, so that's encouraging. We don't need someone up top that needs to win headers, but it's not what you want when you've got two games in such quick succession. Hopefully whoever steps in can bag a few.
And one more comment on Facebook. Daniel Seymour has got in touch. He says, first half Saturday was incredible, totally reformed confidence throughout the squad. Second half was a totally different challenge, but one we came through, taking one game at a time, but it could make for an interesting end for sure. Play at Pompey, Daniel Seymour on Facebook there. And Jack, not too long before we do wrap up things on the Football Hour tonight, looking forward at our next couple of games. Of course, the Easter weekender kicks off this week. It starts with Rochdale at Fratton Park on Friday. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff on the south coast. Rochdale and then Wigan away on Monday, and the following Saturday back to a regular sort of schedule. And it's, I believe, Burton Albion at home. Three very winnable games. We spoke previously in the show about you can never look at games of football on paper. That's not how matches are determined. But you'd certainly fancy Pompey's chances.
100%. They're favourable games. The one that catches my eye mainly is Burton Albion at home. I know they've been doing very well under Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank when he's come back. But they've slowed down a bit in recent weeks. So when you're looking at fixtures, you're definitely encouraged by them. And in terms of the striker situation you mentioned to Sam, I'd like to see us maybe experiment a bit more in these sort of games. I mean, obviously, Rochdale, you'd say, is very favourable and you don't want to take any risks. But where you've not got a striker, maybe you could play something like a Liverpool sort of formation with, Curtis, Harness and Williams up the top, kind of acting as the forwards or so without that striker. And then you're bringing in Andy Cannon in midfield to help out. And that's something I'd like to see maybe given a go at Rochdale. If it doesn't work, then obviously stick one of them up top if you can. But as Sam said, we're playing a lot of passing now, so we don't really need the striker role. But yeah, very encouraged by these fixtures, and especially with Portsmouth giving us the free eye follow pass. I'm looking forward to watching that Rochdale game on Friday.
Yeah, certainly one to keep an eye out. Pompey fans back home, if you've got a flexi season ticket, if you're signed up to keep your seat at Fratton Park this season, you will be rewarded with a code to watch Friday's game at home to Rochdale 3 on iFollow. So you can hear myself, Liam and Ryan for 3. You really are getting spoiled. Sam, Marcus Harness, someone we've not really touched upon yet, real key performer on Saturday. A lot of the plaudits will go down to Ben Close. He's been a superstar in the last two games under Danny Cowley. But Marcus Harness, he really has been let loose. And that goal on Saturday, fantastic finish, capped on a really well-worked move, which we touched upon earlier in the show. But what a player he's also becoming in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, we heard straight away, didn't we, from Danny Cowley's target of 10 goals that really he wants to see Harness as the kind of focal point of our team. And I think that maybe surprised quite a few of us Pompey fans. He's been a bit of a hit and miss player, let's say that, this season. He's had his really good spell and then he dropped off, and we didn't really know what to expect from him on a game-to-game basis. But from judging under this new system, two goals in two, it's looking promising. So, yeah, I mean, even if he stays out on the right, he really could be the man to get the goals. in the striker's absence over the next few days.
Yeah. Of course, Roland Curtis returns from international duty this week. I believe a Republic of Ireland's last game is tomorrow from that international break, which gives Roland Curtis hopefully plenty of time to get back to Portsmouth before Friday's game, so he could be in contention to start that one, possibly up top for Pompey, if John Marquis's red card is not rescinded. A final tweet in then to wrap up the show tonight. Ben Chu on Twitter: absolutely amazing how much better we look. Hold the ball for longer and we look for better options. Proof is in the pudding after that first half on Saturday, with several great chances created. The thoughts there of Ben Chu on Twitter. OK, lads, let's get your score predictions. Why not? Rochdale at home on Friday. Very, very quickly. Jack Griffin, what are you going for?
Let's go for a 3-0 Pompey.
3-0 Pompey and Sam Carter.
Yeah, I was actually going to say the same. 3-0 Pompey.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I'm going to go for a 4-0 Pompey. Why not? Absolutely smash them. Jack, Sam, thank you both very, very much. It's been a fantastic hour of Pompey discussion. Have a safe week and enjoy the game Friday.
Thanks very much, Jake.
So that is just about all we've got time for this evening, Pompey fans, I'm afraid. I'm back on Thursday evening, 6 o'clock, for the Football Hour to preview this Good Friday fixture. Rochdale are the next visitor to Fratton Park. It's an Easter weekender and it starts off at PO4. Kickoff is 3 o'clock. Join myself, Liam and Ryan for full pre-match build-up live on the South Coast from 2 p.m.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
You
want to
believe it?
Pompey Live.
It was back-to-back victories for the Cowley brothers last time out, with the Blues claiming a 2-1 win at Shrewsbury.
Brown to Marquis, who scores, and from a yard out, he taps it into the back of the net.
Next up, Pompey are back at Fratton Park. They host relegation-threatened Rochdale at PO4. Join us for all the unmissable Good Friday action from 2.
Pompey Live on Express FM with Aqua Cars.
Like I say, don't miss that one. 2 o'clock Friday afternoon, we'll have full coverage of Pompey versus Rochdale. Match day number 37 for the Blues in this League One season. Pompey hoping to get a third straight victory under Danny Cowley and, of course, his brother Nicky Cowley, to put hopes of a playoff finish this season truly in contention. I'll be back on Thursday evening for the Football Hour, and I'll be joined by two more Pompey fans to preview that game. Coming up tonight, Jeff and Adrian are back with the Soft Rock Show after the news at 7. They've got the latest by Vikings of Blues, Jawulia, Michael Armstrong and Drax Project, alongside music from events in history, including Dire Straits, Prince and Prodigy. Scattering the Roots returns with Dan Ogus from 9 through till 11 o'clock this evening. Dan is playing nothing but folk, blues and roots music. And then from 11 through until 2 a.m, Liam Howells is back with the Express Wind Down, helping you relax with nothing but great soothing tunes to wind you down into the early hours of tomorrow morning. So no midweek game for the Blues this weekend, of course, due to the Easter schedule. Mason Jordan's back with Express Breakfast tomorrow from 7. Darren Gavin's back from 10 o'clock and Ian James returns from 1 p.m. through until 4, which is when James Bursey takes control until 6 o'clock. Mason Jordan's then returns with a local music show from 6. But until Thursday, Pompey fans, have a great week. Enjoy your evening. Thank you for listening and play at Pompey. Good night.